Hey, hey, people of Earth, it's time to enter the Spoilerverse via our secret portal at the exclusive Arctic Club in beautiful downtown Seattle with our hosts John and Kenrick. Welcome to Spoiler Country.
Hey, if you're listening to our show for the first time and you're on one of the social medias that we're on, like Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, any of those kinds of things, you should always check us out on Spoilerverse.com. But if you want to keep up with our latest episodes, you should bring out your smartphone, get into your favorite podcatcher, find Spoiler Country, and hit subscribe. Then you'll get all our new stuff.
And if you want to reach out to us, you can do that in two ways. You can call us, leave us a voicemail at 707-656-2080. Again, 707-656-2080. Or you can shoot us an email at spoilercountry@gmail.com.
United Armies of the Spoilerverse, welcome back to Spoiler Country. I'm Kenneth Regan. That is Mr. Horsley, and today on the show, well, we have the man that is more super than most.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, he really is, though.
Yeah.
And he, you know, he defines morality and ethics today in a way that is probably more needed than ever time before. But we got lucky enough to have the voice of Superman through all the cartoons for the last 15, 16 years, George Newbern.
And the voice of Sephiroth from Final Fantasy VII, which is kind of like the opposite kind of character.
Yeah. Right? Kind of crazy. Kind of gave him a little bit more depth, a little bit more things to do.
Yeah.
George is a very interesting cat because
yeah, he was.
He was in the early 90s, he's part of some of the biggest movies ever with Father of the Bride, which if you're my age, you'll remember those movies, and they were ginormous successes.
Well, they're great movies too. One yeah. and two.
And he plays the son-in-law.
Yeah. And does a damn good job.
Yep. And he's been in a bunch of movies in the 80s, and he was in Designing Women. And well, you guys gonna hear all this.
Yeah, he's been around a lot, so we should let him listen to it.
Yeah. So George Newbern, in his own words. All right, guys, thanks for coming back. And today on the show, it's going to be really exciting because, well, he's appeared in such movies as Father of the Bride, Part 1 and Part 2, TV shows like Designing Women, Friends, and our fan base might know him better as the most super of all men in the Justice League Unlimited series, as well as the Injustice video game series. George Newbern, thanks for coming on.
How you doing? How you doing?
Doing well. Thank you, citizen.
You're welcome.
Man, it's exciting. You've been doing voiceovers for a long time with Justice League. And
Yeah. And Final Fantasy. I did the voice of Sephiroth in Final Fantasy up until the latest incarnation.
Yeah, that's kind of bumming. What's up with that?
Dude, I don't know. They replaced the entire cast and started over with the, you know, some other people. I mean, nothing against them, but it's like kind of don't know why they did it. But,
yeah, because you're kind of synonymous with that character.
I know, man. It's odd. But
it's so weird.
It's show business.
So, man, you've been doing this a while now.
I've been doing it a long time. Long time.
I mean, no messing around. You were on Designing Women, which is crazy to me that to think because I remember watching that as a kid growing up. And
you know,
what did
that's crazy?
What do those girls teach you anything? I mean, you had Dixie Carter on there, who was a legend already.
Dixie Carter was an amazing woman. God rest her. And I met her husband, Hal Holbrook. And I just looked him up. It's so funny you mentioned it because I was just looking him up the other day. And I talked to the producer of that, Harry Thomason, this morning, actually, via text. He and his wife just checking in on him. Hal Holbrook and Dixie, I used to see them, you know, fairly frequently. And he's still alive. He's about 92 years old and still doing his Mark Twain show. It's just crazy. But yeah, they were my first sort of show business, big job out here. And it was pretty exciting. And I was scared out of my wits.
Did she give me any good advice that you remember?
Yeah. Well, she tried to say, she said, George, don't do any movies. You just go do some plays. And of course, all I wanted to do was movies. I did doing plays up to that point. I was like, I don't want to do that crap. I want to do a movie or a TV show.
You're crazy lady. I want to do movies, TV. You're
crazy lady. I'm sick of plays. Let's do some movies. She's a lovely person.
That's funny. So I got to ask, I don't think I've heard anybody ask you this, but has ballet helped you in your acting career at all?
You know, no one has asked me. That's funny. Yeah. No. Yeah. I it's funny because I grew up in Arkansas and I just wanted to be an actor. I was just crazy. I got bit with a bug when I was like 12 or 13. And as I did more and more plays and I did musicals, I found I had a talent to sing and I did a lot of singing. And I realized that the people who got the best parts were the people who could sing, dance, and act. And so I started taking ballet for 6, 7, 8 years. And then I got quite proficient at that. And I think it just helps you, you know, get girls, number one. Number two, if you're the one straight guy in the ballet class, it's open season.
Right. That's a good thing.
Yeah. But so it just helps you, you know, it's the most athletic thing you could do, you know, aside from, I don't know, football or something like that. It's pretty demanding and it's a great discipline. I learned a lot from it. I think it's just good for life.
You know? Yeah. I know a lot of football players, like especially in the 90s, took a lot of ballet classes.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, man. It's real hard. It's
which is
really,
crazy. Really, I don't know if they still do that. I don't know if a lot of them still do that.
I don't know if they do. They probably should. If you've seen, you know, Baryshnikov or any of the early Nureyev and all this earlier ballet, yeah, guys, I mean, those guys are studs, the complete studs.
Yeah. So, you got to have so much strength. Like, I remember my mom. Yeah. She was a huge ballet fan. And
was she?
I just remember watching on TV with her and just seeing these guys just whip those girls around. You're like, you got to be strong to be doing what they're doing.
Oh yeah, yeah. And it's actually not a natural movement. The exercises and the ballet positions are not natural. So you get a lot of ballerinas and ballet dancers who are, you know, their knees are blown out and their ankles are screwed up. They all have arthritis because it's really demanding, and you're just crushing your joints.
So your mom. So you grew up. And were you born and raised, or just born in Little Rock?
Born and raised in Little Rock. And then when I was graduated high school, went to Northwestern in Chicago to go to university.
Oh, nice. And how was Northwestern?
It was amazing. Amazing.
Yeah.
Met my wife there and a lot of great friends still from there, and moved out to LA and been in LA ever since.
Oh, that's awesome. So, but yeah. Your mom taught Spanish. So were you fluent?
You know, I wasn't fluent. I my mother was certainly fluent, and I can speak it. I can make any, gracias de nada, por supuesto, sí. I can make all the voices in Spanish. I know how to do it. I just can't write a paragraph. I can read it and I can sound like I know what I'm talking about if you give me a sentence, but my grammar is awful. I've just never gotten the grammar very well.
Was your mom Spanish?
She was no. She's from Arkansas, but she was a Spanish. She learned Spanish and was a Spanish teacher and has taught
English, awesome,
in Madrid. And she was very, 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 very professional, expert on Spanish. She's
unbelievable. Yeah. Did she ever switch over to Spanish when she got super angry with you?
She would sometimes. That's funny. when she wanted us to leave, she'd say fuera, 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 like which means get the hell out, like get out.
Right.
And I was like, that's the only word I knew growing up.
Well, my ex-wife was from Brazil.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and when she gets super mad at me, she'd start just railing me in Portuguese.
In Portuguese, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Language. Or she wanted me to shut up. She'd say, cala boca, porra, which is shut your mouth. And then poja, which is so weird. Poja is a weird word because they use it like we use damn.
Oh, okay. Right?
Uh-huh. But the literal translation is sperm. Which is like, what? But yeah, everybody down really, there uses it like damn.
Yeah, that's really funny, you know, because I also hear, you know, a term of endearment. I don't know if I can say this to your audience, but they say in Spanish.
You can swear Cubans, anything they say, on this podcast.
They say so coño.
You
know. They say, hey, coño, which means vagina, I think. It's like, hey, coño. What's up, vagina? Which is kind of odd.
Oh, man. It's just, it cracks me up, some of the things, because she would just switch it on and it would be like, okay, I don't understand anything you're saying right now. I just can pick out the swear words.
Well, maybe that's why she's your ex-wife. I don't know. I'm kidding.
That's, you know, you might be onto some of that.
Oops.
Yeah, I have to ask you, and only because I'm being somewhat sarcastic, because you were sarcastic about this. How good is Paramedics?
Oh, it's the worst movie ever made. It might be the worst movie ever made. I'm pretty sure it is. No, it's that one and another one I did called Doppelganger with Drew Barrymore. Those two movies might be the worst thing ever put through a film camera.
Terrible. When you guys are shooting Paramedics, did everybody kind of in on the gag, kind of knowing like, wow, this is really bad? Or do you feel like, no, this could be good, and then you see the final cut?
Honestly, I don't think anybody sets out to make it a bad movie. They really don't. But you knew Chris McDonald, who's done a million things, who's a great actor, really funny. He and I just had literally just met. We were both clients of creative artists, and I'd just been in LA, and I had this like big fancy agent. And I'd gone like 4 months. I'd had a big job, and then I didn't have a job for a minute. And then I kind of panicked, and they said, oh, you should do this movie. And I guess they packaged it. And it was terribly written. And I kind of looked at it and said, I don't know. And they said, they're going to pay you $50,000 to do this movie. And I mean, it's a lot of money. And back, you know, in 1980, whatever, 76, 87, I think it was, I was like, oh my God, I got to do that. I can't say no to that. And, you know, Chris McDonald and I both did it. We said, okay, let's go do it. We got on an airplane, and we had sort of only cursorily read the script. And as we were sitting in our airplane seats, we were finishing reading it. Basically, we're not being very thorough about our jobs, but we had sort of looked at it a little more, and we looked at each other and we started crying, laughing at the same time, going, oh my God, what have we done? And we started making, like, you know, poo-poo jokes and pee-pee jokes and just going, this is going to be a nightmare. And it was actually worse than I expected. If it's possible, it was like the material was so bad. The director was nice. Yeah. But in the middle of the shoot, I would get in the elevator in the hotel lobby, and I would get in. And I remember one night the editor of the movie was so drunk, and because he was, whatever he was seeing was so bad. And he turned to me, he looked at me, and he said, could you just give me something to work with? So not only was it bad, apparently I was really bad in it. And because I didn't know what the hell, I just got down, I didn't know what I was doing. And so the drunk editor was saying, could you just give me something to work with? So I'll never forget that. And it just,
oh my God,
really, you had to really bring me down on that one, didn't you?
But, oh my God, that's hilarious.
That was a bad memory. Although we had fun in, you know, a perverse way, but it was just awful.
Oh God. Awful. How does, so you, talk with Christopher McDonald, you guys go and have lunch together at all?
You know, we just touched base last week. He was in New York, or he's actually, no, I'm sorry, he's up in Arrowhead. His family, they have a house up him.
Did anybody call him Shooter?
No, I don't know. I don't think so.
From when he was in Happy Gilmore.
Oh, and that's right. Yeah.
I saw an interview with him when he was talking about, you know, 20 years later, he's going through the airport and people still call him out as Shooter McGavin.
Sure, I'm sure. He's or Daryl from, he was in, what the hell's in that movie that with the Gina Davis and with Brad Pitt, the car that goes off the cliff at the end.
What's the name of the movie? Now you're making me do the same thing.
Anyway, he plays Daryl.
Susan Sarandon, and they had the whole scene with Brad Pitt.
What is the name of the movie?
Oh my God, are you serious? Are we both doing this right now?
but anyway, he played Daryl, so he's iconic from that movie. But anyway,
Thelma and Louise.
What was it?
Thelma and Louise.
Thelma and Louise. That's right. Thelma and Louise. How could you not remember that?
Wow. That was.
But
happened.
Yeah. He's up in quarantine with his four kids, or they're all adults now, but they're all up in Arrowhead, and he's in New York back and forth to LA. And we talked a couple times every couple months. Good guy.
Yeah. That's cool. That's really cool. So you landed a really big role in the early 90s playing Brian McKenzie. And
yeah,
you were opposite of Steve McMartin. Are you serious? Did I just say that? Steve McMartin. Yes.
Yeah.
No, Steve Martin, Diane Keaton, Martin Short.
Yeah.
Pardon my language, but how fucking cool was that?
Yeah, it was off the chart. I honestly, the first day we were shooting, Kim Williams, who's, I guess, about 10 years younger than me, we went to the same university, and she was still in school when we got it. And she and I were outside the door about to open the door and see Steve Martin for our first scene. And I was literally, and I'd worked with some big stars before, but Diane Keaton and Steve Martin, that was pretty huge for me. And I was so nervous. I was flop sweating all day.
Just flop sweating.
Yeah.
I would be freaking out because I always think of, when I think of Diane Keaton, I think of her as like kind of a fashion icon doing Annie Hall. You know, and then having that whole you know, she was very influential in the late sure. in the '70s and the '80s. And then she sure. did that. I don't, you know, she did all these amazing things. And then here she comes in Father of the Bride. And it's just like, oh, that's Diane Keaton. And yeah, she's been on some of the biggest movies of all time with The Godfather and Godfather 2. Huh. And then, you know, and then on top of that, if I was in a room with Steve Martin, I don't think I'd be able to talk.
Oh, well, you know, he's not a super talkative guy necessarily. He's kind of serious. Yeah. But that's really smart and very witty. And the most surreal thing, I mean, working on the set after a while, it did just become like you're working on the set and everybody's just,
right.
It's an acting job. But the surreal parts for me were the lunches. Every day we'd all go out to lunch. It'd be Steve and Martin and Diane and Kim and I. And then sometimes B.D. Wong would come and he played the Martin Short's assistant.
Yeah. But
we would be joined by like whoever was in town, like Eric Idle would show up, or God, who else?
Eric Idle,
Michael
man.
Palin, just different people that they were friends with. We would just go out to lunch. And I was like, is this really happening? Am I really sitting here ordering a turkey sandwich? Talking to, you know, Eric Idle. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. I mean, I'm sure they were just being polite and inviting me, but geez, I felt like I had a front row seat to, like, you know, just heaven, Hollywood heaven.
Yeah. What was Martin Short like?
He's hilarious. He's just freaking
awesome. Is he just on all the time?
He kind of is, or kind of was. I don't know if he's like that now, but he certainly was. He certainly was then. Just really, just kooky funny. Kooky funny all the time.
Like, because I watched things with Steve Martin and have him do interviews, you know, listen to him do interviews, and he seems pretty subdued.
He's subdued. But I saw he and Martin Short's, I have a comedy, like a stand-up thing, a show that does. Went to Vegas with a friend to go watch them. We went backstage and chatted with them after. It is hilarious. They are so good together. Oh, my God.
Oh, I bet.
So good.
You know, they should do now. They could do Grandfather of the Bride.
They could. I heard there was they had mentioned that there was a third script out there somewhere, but I've yet to see it. I'd love to see it.
Oh, my God. Didn't you guys do like a commercial or something? You and
Kim and I did some of these Hallmark commercials right after, and it wasn't as the characters, but it was sort of like, you know, alluded to we were those characters. And I don't think necessarily that Nancy, the creator of show movie, wanted us to do it, but God, I was like, you know, I'm an actor, I gotta take the job.
Yeah, you gotta work.
So gotta work, man. So we did see a bunch of those commercials for Hallmark. They turned out pretty cute. And
that's really cool. So. Now you're doing a lot of voiceover work. I mean, you don't just do voiceover work. You just got done doing Scandal a couple of years ago, which was a massive success.
Yeah, I did it for 7 seasons. Yeah, it was a good job. Great job.
Oh, my God. I can't even imagine being on a show that is all the talk for that long.
It was, you know, me too. It was the first time I'd been on a TV series from the beginning and be part of something that sort of like you watched it, you felt it lift off the ground and like go, you know?
Yeah.
Usually my experience has been I've either done a recurring on a show that's existing or, you know, done TV series that don't ever get seen but this was really, really, it was, you know, it's kind of probably a once in a lifetime thing for an actor to get to have a cool part on something that's popular. It's just really
fun. You guys are going against juggernauts at that time. Game of Thrones was going big.
Oh, yeah, man.
The Walking Dead was going big.
For a little bit, though. Yeah.
Yeah.
Big shit. Yeah.
Dang, cool. Man.
And then I've been doing voiceover stuff all the way throughout, you know.
Yeah.
So I never stopped doing it.
Video games, cartoons, all of it, right?
Video games. Yep, all of it. I just kind of do everything at once. I got 3 kids, man. I'll do any and everything.
I got 5 miles to feed.
That's right. I got 5 miles to feed.
You know what? I say that all the time. You're the first person that ever got the reference. I love it. Yeah, I say that. You know, what's funny is my co-host who is having technical difficulties. He's been trying to get on, but I think he's given up. He literally has 5 mouths to feed.
Yeah.
So it's kind of funny when he says it. But I say that all the time. I was kind of bumming because they didn't really use that line in the remake of Total Recall. I was like,
You
show the girl with the 3 breasts, but you don't say the line.
I got 5 mouths to feed.
So Sephiroth, you've said, is your favorite voiceover character to voice.
No, not necessarily. Did I say that? I didn't say
that. Yeah, you said that on an interview.
Superman was. Did I really?
Yeah. You said, because you said Superman, you know, he's Superman. You know, you're going to have this name where Sephiroth gave you like more things to do.
That's true. Sephiroth is a little more fun, actually. Yeah. A little more edgy.
So,
a little more edgy.
How long have you been doing Sephiroth? Or how long did you do Sephiroth for?
Honestly, we did it for, I guess, about 15 or 16 years.
Wow. Something
like that. And then the Justice League was probably about the same, even longer, right? Because I just did another DC Universe.
Yeah.
3 weeks ago. And then I've been doing these cons and meeting the fans. It's been a blast. It's been such a blast until they all got canceled in the world. Yeah.
Well, now with the DC Universe app, your work is being seen all over again.
I know, man. So fun.
Which is awesome.
Super fun.
And I know they're bringing some people back because they just had Wonder Woman, Susan Eisenberg.
Susan Eisenberg. Yeah, yeah. I just did a DC. You're talking about a DC Online Universe, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Just did one 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Are you guys, any chance of it coming back on as an actual regular thing?
I don't know. You know, God, you never know. We just did a movie. We did the Fatal Five was out, I guess, about 10 months ago, 11 months ago, something like that. That was fun. There's always, I've been going to these conventions and there's a huge, huge fan base still for Justice League. They still love it. People love it and have great memories of it. And I'm surprised at how much love is still. It's really fun.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. Like the DC animated universe and the CW show really did what for DC what Marvel's doing with the MCU.
Yeah,
they're finally doing the shared universe, and they do it right on their animation and then on the CW. The fan base on there is rabid.
Just huge.
Yeah,
super fun.
You took over from Tim Daly, really, and now you've done a lot more than he did, right?
Yeah. He was busy working, and it couldn't get to it. And then I just happened to walk in the door, and then take over, and then
kept doing it. You've done more than he has now.
I think I have. Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Because what do you remember? What year was your first year of actually performing?
I can't remember. It was.
That's not a bad thing. It's been that long, been that many episodes.
It's got to be, remember, 2000, I want to say 2002,
2003.
Wow. Four like that, something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it was a couple, 3 years of the series and then movies and games and all the way, just sort of kind of dribs and drabs all the way through.
Have you ever had a chance to go back and read some of the old storylines?
You know, we did it. We've done some Justice League reunion stuff at these cons and read a one of the episodes, and
we've gone back. Cool.
It's really fun. It still sort of stands up, you know.
Yeah. Have you ever thought of going back and reading some of the old comic books?
Oh, old comic books. You know, I haven't, but I would love to, but I haven't.
You should check out, because by now you know the character well enough through all the TV that you've done and all the lines you've done.
Yeah.
Do you go back and read and watch the episodes that have happened from time to time? Because I know some people just don't do that. Like,
I don't do it on purpose, but if it's there, if I come across it, or I just say, God, you know, I was actually putting together a reel of some of the voiceover stuff, and it's amazing on YouTube that people do these little edit, they do editing jobs of, you know, I'll type in my name in Superman or Justice League, and somebody will have gone on and aggregated like 5 scenes or 10 scenes or something like, and it's really, really good. And I'm like, oh, I remember doing that. Or, oh, I don't remember doing that. But that's really good.
That's awesome.
But it's fun. It's crazy.
I was wondering, because there's a storyline that I so want them to do. And it's called, maybe you've been asked, it's called Kingdom Come. And I think as you're getting older, your register starts to go down, right?
It does.
We're all melting. Yeah, it does. Yeah. And you're like right at that time where the storyline for Kingdom Come is Superman's much older, and like these bombs have gone off and a bunch of Earth has been has been decimated, and there's all this weird stuff going on, and he kind of goes away into his own little world and not dealing with the outside world. Then he comes back out and all this stuff is messed up, so he wants to reestablish the Justice League and redo all this stuff. And it's a really amazing storyline. And I would suggest if you have a chance to check it out.
Yeah,
Sorry, I got to cut in here real quick and just kind of correct her, or at least let it be known what Kingdom Come is really about. It's not about what Kendrick said before. Kingdom Come is an Elseworlds story written by Mark Waid with art by Alex Ross. It's an amazing story. But basically, Superman, his generation of heroes from Justice League have been succeeded by a new generation of heroes who are more, whose ideals are more about their own image, their own egos, less about protecting people, more about like, hey, look at me, I'm awesome, I'm amazing, less about, hey, let's save the day. And Superman goes to Fortress of Solitude and does this farming life, and Flash becomes like the Uber Flash of his city and runs so fast he comes between different realms, and you know, Batman does what Batman does, and all the superheroes of the Superman generation kind of handle things a little differently because there's this new heroes on the span, like Hyper Time and Magog and Gog and stuff. Magog or Gog, I can't remember which one it is. I think it's Gog. I don't know, whatever. But this major disaster happens and there's a big battle and Superman has to come out of hiding and they all come back together, and it's an amazing story. So it's definitely, go check it out.
Is that one we did already in the Justice League, or the original, or the Justice League Unlimited? What story? Which was it?
No, it's just a comic book story. Yeah, it's a comic book story. It's called Kingdom Come. And it's like, you'll find like a ton of people are really want this to be done.
Cool.
Yeah. And it's kind of a cool thing. It. Yeah. If you checked it out, you'd probably really enjoyed it.
God, I'm sure I would. I would love it.
So
I would love it.
Yeah, I would love it so much. So does your son Ben still watch the cartoons and tell you, oh,
you know, he didn't get hurt? He doesn't. He did when he was little, but he's 17 and he's kind of, you know, he's in quarantine. We've been, you know, locked down for the last, like everybody, for the last 3.5 weeks. And
I just thought it was cute when I,
oh, he's been in school, but man, now that he's had time and like after his schoolwork is done, he's been playing, you know, online video games with all his friends all over the country. It's really crazy. They're, you know, I think they're playing Grand Theft Auto and, you know, that, what is that?
All the appropriate stuff.
That Dune Buggy thing, that Dune Buggy game in space, or like in a big sphere where they are like, you try to get the, kick the ball in the goal. I don't know what the hell that thing's called, but
I don't know crazy. What that one's called.
Yeah. It's really fun.
Yeah.
But, he's good at all that. That's all he does. No, he doesn't watch those cartoons much, honestly. He did when he was littler, but he didn't.
I just thought the story was cute when you were talking about it, how he thought it was, you know, you're like, that's a cartoon. You're good. I'm okay. I'm not hurt.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah. And the coolest thing was when he had one of those toys that I voiced a toy, and it's a Superman, a cape and a little chest plate, and you touch it and my voice comes out and you run around, you know, like you're Superman. He would do that in the house and just made me very proud.
Oh, that's cool. That's cool. So, are you preferring to do more voiceover, or are you just really want to just keep doing what you're doing?
It's the other, whatever jobs come up, man. I'm available and ready to go and do everything. I mean, I read a ton of, I narrate a ton of audiobooks because it's just,
oh, cool.
You know, I have a studio at my house, and I stay busy every day. And if I'm not reading an audiobook, I'm doing an audition for an on-camera thing. If I'm not doing that, I'll be doing
awesome.
Superman thing or whatever.
It's yeah. Just,
you got to always be closing.
Always be closing. Yeah. I love Glengarry Glen Ross.
Yeah, great. It's a great, great movie.
So what, you're doing audiobooks. Is there a favorite genre that you have?
Gosh, you know, I've been doing audiobooks for about 7 years, and it's, I don't have a favorite genre. I really love a lot of historical nonfiction and biography stuff because I feel
learn
a lot. And I've also learned a lot about tech stuff, which is fascinating to me. And I like a lot of the fiction, but I think I tend to talk more about the things that I learn. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're being paid to read and narrate a book. And a lot of times the nonfiction stuff is super interesting to me.
Yeah,
Especially science and technology. So
that's cool. So you have a studio in your house. So you just get book and then you just record yourself, or does somebody come and help you edit? Or
well, actually, I have the last 2 weeks I've been working with a director. One director is in New Jersey, and one was here in Silver Lake. But it's via Zoom, you know, the Zoom conference thing. Mm-hmm.
And you Zoom a lot.
I share the screen. With them, and they're basically listening to me as I'm recording it. That goes through my processor through the internet line, and they can hear what I'm doing. And
yeah,
see the waveform, and you know, they direct and blah, blah, blah. I mean, but 90% of the time I direct myself, and I'm actually engineering it as I'm doing it, and I'm doing the research, and it's sort of like, yeah, I don't know if you know you've seen that, the picture of the guy with the bass drum in front. He's got the cymbals on his knees, and he's got the horn. He's got playing seven different things.
The one man band
doing. Yeah, it's sort of like what an audiobook description of an actor is. You just, it's really, really hard. It's long hours. It's solitary, but it's interesting, and it's, you know, keeps your brain alive. If you're not doing something else, it's good to be doing something than nothing. You know, good to stay.
Did you get yourself a whisper room?
Or did you build out a studio? Well, it's called a vocal booth. I've got a vocal booth. It's a teeny, it's a 4x4 booth.
Yeah.
That is.
Yeah. You know, that's like a whisper room. That's probably a competitor.
Yeah. It's a competitor. Whisper booth or vocal booth are the same thing.
Yeah.
And, it's awesome. I spend all my waking days in there. It's just crazy.
Do you mind if we geek out a little bit here for a second?
Yeah. Yeah.
What kind of mic do you use? Or do you have a plethora of mics depending on what they want?
Several mics, but mostly for the reading and commercial stuff. I use my Sennheiser, it's a 416 Sennheiser.
Nice. Sennheiser makes good stuff.
Mic, and it goes into my, M-Box, and then I use Pro Tools software.
Yeah.
And then I have an Avalon processor, which is a kind of a big, beautiful old vacuum tube, you know, processor. It's very warm and fat. And then I have another mic it's actually a Neumann knockoff. It's a Groove Tube 66, a GT66.
Oh, I'll have to check that one out.
I'll use for, it's about 10 years old.
I know Neumann, but.
No, sorry, about 8 years old.
Yeah.
And it's for animation, more for animation and stuff like that. It's sort of just a different, more of a omnidirectional mic. It's, you know, the Sennheiser's are really sort of unidirectional, like right pointed right at you.
Right, dynamic.
More focused, you know, more focused. But the other is sort of more performance oriented, the GT66.
Yeah, and then you're doing a lot of your own editing through Pro Tools.
Yeah, I mean, as you're doing an audiobook, so cool. You're basically, I've got an iPad and I've got my screen, two different screens I'm looking at, and I'm reading and I'm narrating the book on the iPad, and I'm dealing with the screen. The computer screen is my waveform, and so if I hear a sound or if I screw up, I can go, you know, click with Pro Tools and take the sound out or change the signal or, you know,
yeah,
that stuff. But so I'm basically engineering and performing and directing myself at the same time as I'm doing.
That's awesome. That's awesome. How long have you been recording yourself and doing?
I've got about 350 titles I've done so far.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's a lot. It's a freaking lot. My throat is trashed, by the way. But yeah, I've done a ton of stuff.
Because so Johnny, my co-host and I, we edit everything.
Yeah.
You know, and we started off with just cheap mics. You know, my first mic I bought was the Blue Yeti. This is in 2017. Yeah, sure. And then I just totally geeked out. I had to know everything, you know?
Yeah.
And I got addicted to subscribing to Booth Junkie on YouTube. Uh-huh. And then he's a voiceover guy. And he does wonderful work, but he taught me a ton just watching his YouTube channel.
I think I've seen that guy. The latest thing is the Source Connect thing. Have you got?
Yeah, We used Source Connect back in 2017, but it wasn't working very well. We're using that, and we're using ZenCaster.
Really, we kept having issues. Source Connect. I haven't used it yet, but I was told I had to get it. I mean, is it not the way to go?
I think it depends. Like we used to use the free account. We didn't pay for it.
Yeah,
which they still had, but it gave you a good idea. But I don't know if you get dedicated bandwidth. You probably get more dedicated bandwidth if you're paying for it.
I guess
it depends on how you do it. Like a lot of times, like if I knew you had all this set up, I would have asked you if we could do a double ender.
What's that?
That's where on your, you know, on whatever digital workstation, audio workstation you use, whatever DAW you use. And then on my DAW, we both hit record at the same time. Like I'd go 3, 2, 1, record. And then that way you would send me your local file and I would edit them together and it would sound like we're in the same room.
Oh.
Yeah. And they call it podcasting, they call it a double ender.
Yeah. I've never done that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's actually pretty cool.
I think that's what the Source Connect is basically just supposed to be live, like right then.
So the Source Connect
on your end, right?
Yeah. So the Source Connect, when we're doing it, it tried to merge into one room. But it was supposed to record locally for the person, for each person. And that should give you that simulation of doing a double ender. But I swear to God that like something was being compressed or anything like that, then it wasn't quite doing what we thought it was going to be doing, because we'd get it and you'd hear some, a lot of digitizing of, from compression of the audio signal. And we were just like, okay,
that defeats the purpose. I mean, I assume that
you should just look out for it.
I've heard that if you both have, like if there's a director in London, England, and I'm here and he has Pro Tools and I have Pro Tools, apparently there's some button within Source Connect that will actually take away any latency, and it completely syncs that frame rate completely. It's exact.
Oh, yeah. So you're going beyond what we did.
And you're getting the same signal over the, you're getting the actual signal as if you were there. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah.
I don't know.
Oh my God. I'm going to nerd out with you, and I'm going to be bugging you to know how your experience is with that, because we want to know, because we have a lot of fun. We're using, to record into right now, we're using the Zoom LiveTrack L8, and Zoom just produced it specifically for podcasts. And it has like a mix minus function, so you can actually call me on the phone and I can record everything, and then I can mix in multiple Skype accounts so that we could have people on different things. We can all talk together. It's really nice.
Wow. I've been on a Zoom all day today. I've been on a Zoom for 5 hours.
Oh my God. Why are you taking the time? You could have rescheduled if your voice is shot. Well, it would have been more than okay.
You never know. Just do it and stick to a day, you know?
Well, George, we've been on for like 40 minutes already.
Yeah. Okay. Well, cool. My voice is crashed. I'm going to have to say goodbye to you soon.
Yeah.
My throat is dying.
Well, we really appreciate you coming on. I hope we can can convince you to do it again.
You bet.
And
you bet.
No maybe problem. We can try that double ender. That sounds weird, let's but do
it.
Seriously.
That doesn't sound right, but yeah, I got you.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, man.
All right, man. Nice talking to you.
You too.
You know, Kenrick, you know what's funny about this interview?
What's that?
Well, if I didn't say the next thing I'm going to say, nobody listening would probably know this, because I don't talk much in interviews anyways, but I was on this interview, but I actually couldn't talk this time.
Johnny was literally on this interview. Nobody knows this. Actually, he does, because I think I said it throughout the interview, like, you were trying to get on, but you're having technical difficulties, and now you just can't, so... But yeah, you were on, you could hear, but every time you talk, no one could hear you.
Yeah, for some reason, my mic just wasn't working, and I was outside.
So it's pretty much normal.
It's like basically normal. Basically a normal me on an interview with you where I don't talk, so it's fine.
No, but George was awesome, man. He's a cool cat. I love the fact that we nerded out at the end.
Oh, yeah, that's the point where I wanted to talk, because I wanted to get into that nerd talk there about all the gear, but I was like, I just can't.
Yeah. Yeah, and then he's using Source Connect, and I'm really curious on how that's going to go for him, because we use Source Connect.
We did try that, yeah.
But we use Source Connect in its infancy, really.
Oh, that's right. That was what we used to use in its infancy. Now it's, we should try that again.
Yep. We use Zencastr in its infancy, and we use Source Connect in its infancy.
Yep. We were OGs on those.
So we were OGs. But he's paying for it, and he's probably paying a ton of money, and they got it where it's hooking up between their two DAWs. And so when they hit record on one DAW, it reconnects to the other DAW at the same time. And then everything becomes – and I think really what it's doing is probably recording locally and then sending that signal over the internet. And so you don't hear the delay, but when you go back to play it, that original signal from the other DAW is there.
Yeah, it syncs up, which is cool. And I'm actually going to log into our Source Connect account and test it out again here in a little bit. But it was funny because I couldn't talk. But as you guys were trying, you got a couple spots where you guys were like trying to think of something. And I'm sitting here going like, it's Thelma and Louise. Thelma and Louise.
Oh, yeah. That's because we both like totally just blanked out. I've been working all day. He's been working all day. Right. And then we're talking and he goes, you know, that one with Gina Davis and Susan Sarandon and Brad Pitt's in it. They drive a car off a cliff. And I'm like, oh my God, what is the name of that movie? And he got my, I got 5 miles to feed. Yep. Oh
yeah. Yeah.
I fell in love with him as soon as he
got your reference.
Say that all the time and no one ever gets it.
That was good. He was a lot of fun. Oh, and the game he was talking about his kid playing was Rocket League.
Oh, yeah. I don't know that game, so I was like, I have no
idea. I never
played
it, but my nephew JT plays it all the time, so that's the only reason why I know what it is.
Yeah. Well, there you guys.
Yeah, he was cool, man. I wish I could have talked, but he was cool.
Yeah. Little George? Little George Newman? 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 What the hell is going on with me today? Little George Newbern for you? It's a lot of fun, man. The voice of Superman, Sephiroth, all those stuff, man. I don't know, man. That's, you're not going to get that in a lot of other places. No,
you're not going to get conversations like the one we, like the one, and I'd say we, but the one you just had anywhere else, because it's a, we do special talks here at the Spoiler Country.
Yeah, we do special talks. If you guys enjoyed that, which I hope you did, I had a lot of fun being on it and talking with George. I felt really lucky. If you guys enjoyed that and you want to hear more, then head on back down to spoilerverse.com. That's spoilerverse, SPOILERVERSE.com. And check out our back catalog. There is a ton there for you to enjoy.
There's so much in the back catalog. So many more interviews with great voice actors and actors and composers and directors and writers and artists and just so many creative people that we've talked to over the last 3 years. It's awe-inspiring how many people and the kinds of people we talk to. And it makes me so blessed for what we do today. I don't use the word blessed, you know, very often, but we also have so many great regular topic episodes of Kendrick and I just, you know, shooting the shit, talking about whatever, going on tangents or reviewing a movie or discussing our opinions on variant covers and stuff like that. So there's so much there for you. Over 300 episodes, more adding every day, and more, you know, more from other shows on our network, from Bridging the Geekdoms to Nerdtalkalypse to The Shooting the Sis to Misery Point Radio to a bunch of new ones like Narrative Gunslinger has just come out, or we have one launching called Polygon Warriors about video games coming out soon, or actually by the time you hear this is probably already out. There's just so much coming out from the Spoilerverse. If you're not up to date on it and you're not into it yet, you need to get into it now.
I don't think I could explain it any better than that.
Thank you.
So the last thing that we need to say is an Oceans of Podcasts.
We are Cthulhu.
And Cthulhu always wants you to open the mind even more. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you just fine. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, that's better. Yep, good.
Cool.
Okay, cool, man. Where are you?
I'm in Seattle. Well, outside of Seattle. Just outside of Seattle.
Oh, okay, near Seattle. Okay, cool.
Yeah, how about you? Are you down in LA?
Yeah, Los Angeles.
Nice.
Yeah.
My dad grew up in Newport.
Is it? You grew up in Newport, you say?
My dad did. We were there all the time.
Oh, really?
Orange County. Quite a bit growing up.
A little warmer down here.
I love it. I love that area. I mean, I'm not a huge LA fan, but I love Huntington and Newport and Laguna.
Yeah. Southern California is it's nice. It's nice down here.
Yeah. I'm going to bring my co-host in.
Okay.
To chat in with us, if you don't mind.
Yeah, no problem.
Cool, and then we can get going. Sorry, it's kind of a weird day.
It's a little delayed for some reason.
Oh, is it? Do you want me to try calling you back? Maybe we just got a bad connection.
Yeah, it's possible. Should I go on Wi-Fi or just do Wi-Fi? Or
well, Wi-Fi would probably be a better connection for you. So I would try that. Yeah, I'm on Wi-Fi.
Hello?
Yeah. You still getting a delay? Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you, but it's a little just sort of crackly.
Okay. You want me to just call you right back to see how it sounds?
Sure. Yeah. Coming back.
Okay. John, you there? I don't know. Your mic is, it's saying that your mic is off. I'm going to call him back. Call.
Hello.
Is that better?
Yeah. That sounds a little better, I think.
Okay, good. All right. Then I'm going to start recording on that side. And then, okay. So I may or may not have a co-host on. He's having some technical difficulties, but we can start without him, so it's not a big deal.
Okay, let's do it. Let's do it.
And then, George, thank you so much for doing this.
You're welcome.
I really appreciate it. It's nice to have you on.
Sure.
I was shocked when I started doing some research and how long you've been in the business.
Oh, yeah. It's not been long. I'm doing a long time, actually.
Yeah. And you had that movie, My New Car, and I was shocked to find out that I saw that back in the 80s. I'm 45. And I saw that back in the
80s. Yeah. I think it was called, I think they changed the title to It Takes Two or something.
Yeah. Oh, is that what they changed it to It Takes Two? And
yeah. It started out as My New Car, which is actually a better title.
Yeah. And it's kind of funny because it has kind of a cult status to it.
I know. It's kind of a good movie in a sort of weird way. Kind of bizarre, but fun. Yeah.
It makes you want to go and try to find it online to see if it's available to watch.
No, I know. I've signed a bunch of those posters for people, actually.
Oh, that's cool. Okay. Give me a second and I'll do an introduction and we'll get going.
Okay.